I want you to take your Bible, if you would, please, and turn to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Once you find Philippians chapter 3, find verse number 1, and then stand with me, if you would, please. Philippians chapter 3, starting with verse number 1. Boys and girls, make sure you don't talk now. It's listening time. Philippians chapter 3. And I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently. We're going to start with verse number 1. It says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more." Notice in verse number 2, it says, "Beware of dogs." That's what I call the sermon tonight, "Beware of dogs." And let's pray. Father, bless us now. Oh, we're busy here at our church, and it's been a long couple of weeks with the youth conference and then the duties of life. It's been hot and it drains our bodies and our minds. But God, tonight again, we need you to reach down from heaven and do something supernatural in our service. Lord, we didn't come here tonight just to get this over with. We came here tonight to get something from heaven. So I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit of God would dominate in this place. I pray, God, that my voice would be in submission, my mind, my heart would be in submission to you. Help our ears to listen the way you would have us to listen, and might we be better Christians when we leave this building tonight than when we came in. Holy Spirit of God, anoint both the voice and the ears this evening, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. The Bible says, "Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision." Now, pretty well what happens is God, in the first three words, sums up the rest of the verse. He's saying, "Beware of dogs," and then he begins to describe what he means. He's talking about evil workers and those of the concision. Now, let me explain something to you. In Bible days, they would have wild packs of dogs. Matter of fact, if you studied it historically, they would call them wild, dirty dogs. In the Bible, it talks about beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. The devil would be compared to a wolf. Of course, you know, a dog is a part of the wolf family. And these wild, dirty dogs, they would be known for running the streets. They would go out and dig up bodies. They would eat bodies. There's stories in the Old Testament about people that had fallen in the street. They died, and by morning time, the bodies were gone because the wild packs of dogs would eat them. When you look at the dogs, often in the Bible, they're referred to. You're going to find false prophets are referred to as dogs. But these dogs would be spiritually dangerous critters or spiritually dangerous situations, if you will. It's not always, not every time that you see the word dog in the Bible is it talking about a four-legged fluffy animal with a tag that a tail that wags back and forth. It's often in reference to spiritually negative things or things that would hurt us. I have to tell you, I was out soul winning in our area many months ago now, and I went to a place, and there was a big fence all the way around it. Now, if you went out visiting as many people as I do, probably the only people that understand this better would be the people that are on foot as postmen. We've got mail delivery people here. You know, dogs are not man's best friend when you're in a red, white, and blue truck delivering paper on their property. You know, dogs are very protective. But when you go visit as much as I do, you do come in contact with the dogs. Well, I went to visit someone, and they had stopped in to visit our church, and I wanted to go see them. When I got there was a big fence all the way around the yard, and I looked around immediately. There was a "Beware of Dog" sign. And I don't let that stop me. I do beware of dog, but it does not stop me. So I went through the first gate, and I stepped in just far enough so I could look around, and there was no dog anywhere, so I wasn't worried at all. But what really startled me, when I got up to where the porch was, there was another gate. So they, whatever this was, they had two fences and two gates that you had to go through to it. And I thought, you know, this has got to be Fido on steroids or something. You know, something's going on here. And so there was a beware dog sign all the way on the outside gate, but I didn't see any dog on the big run-in yard where they had. And then I got to the little second gate that was going to lead me right up to their porch. There was another sign that said beware dog. Now this one had me a little more concerned. And so I started to step through it, and I was listening and watching, and when I started to step through, I got my body about halfway through the gate, and I could hear something on the inside of the house. At least I thought. I think it was on the inside of the house, and it went crazy. You know, roar, 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 roar. And I thought, good, there's a whole pack of them. There's a herd of them. They have eaten the owner, and they're coming after me next. So as with as much dignity as I could, you know, I'm the pastor, I backed off and I shut the door. And the minute I backed off, the dog stopped. And so I thought, okay, I'll wait here and maybe they'll adjust and I'll get the courage and I can go up there and knock on the door. And I'm beginning to wonder, you know, how fast can I run? Am I feeling really cocky today? Can I do this? And so I started to open the gate again and I got my body just inside and roar, 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 roar. They just started going crazy. And I thought, we'll step out again. And I stepped out. I did it a third time. I stepped in and it started barking and I stepped out and I realized there are no dogs here. They had a motion sensitive mechanism that when you stepped up on their porch, it picked up on you and there was a recording. Now, I'm glad I wasn't being videoed, or maybe I was. Hey, if you see me on Funniest Home Video, I want the money for it. Because at first, I was really scared. At second, I was beginning to wonder. At the third, I thought, they played a trick on me. But I remember it happening. Let's see. I need a couple people to help me. Jack, why don't you come up here and help me for a second? I want you to hold that. Stand about right there. Let's see. Uriah, will Eleni be all right there if you come up and help me for a second? I need a couple guys I know I can trust to help me for a second. These guys are really trustworthy. You can see the sign, beware of dog. I knew I should have thought through this better. Beware of dog. That sign means something. It means something to all of us. I want you to know that throughout the Bible, that word beware shows up. And when God uses the beware, it's not some real lighthearted, casual warning. It's God. You notice that is in that bright red orange color. That means danger. Watch out. Everybody here, when you see the beware of dog sign, I think if you have any sense, you get to looking around. You get to watching. Because you understand there's danger. Now, there's more in life and in the Bible. The beware is given to us often. It's given to us often. Now, I was going to have these guys help me. I was going to have you bark for me. But I'm not going to require that of you. Brother Ellswick, did the teenagers, any of them practice barking tonight?
They do it all the time.
Okay. All right. Well, let me have one of these signs. You guys can have a seat, and I'll take care of these. But I want you to know, in the Bible, God tells us. Whoever made these signs, I hope they do realize these words are found first in the Word of God. Somebody might have a sign like this and have a copyright on it, but God has the copyright on the words, beware of dogs. Beware of dogs, because it's in the Bible. You're going to see signs that say beware high voltage. You'll see signs that say beware ice on the bridge. Beware road work ahead. Beware high water. I've seen a couple of you had pants on this evening thinking there would be high water. We'll put a little sign out. You know, everybody always has to be careful out here on the marble floor in the entryway of our church. It's gorgeous, but when that gets a little wet, it gets slick. And we put a little sign out there that tells you to beware of the slick floor. So many bewares. Beware of politicians. Same thing. Beware dogs. Now, the word beware, it means to watch out for. It means to take heed. Be aware of what's happening. Look at it on purpose. Pay attention on purpose. Look up from what you're doing and concentrate, because danger is on the horizon. Open your eyes wide, see it clearly, stare at it, figure it out. That's what that beware means. God said beware of dogs, and when he used the term beware of dogs, it kind of was summarizing the possibility of some negative thing, either negative person, negative belief, negative circumstance, but it was telling you to beware of the dog. And he kind of put it all together in one nutshell, say beware of dogs. Now, then he breaks it down. He tells us what to beware of throughout the Bible. In essence, the word beware is not... If it's not heeded, then you're probably going to get hurt. The reason it says beware is because if you do not beware, the possibility of you getting hurt is extremely high. And they're trying to help you not to get hurt. If you don't beware, you might get bit. If you don't beware, you might get shocked. If you don't beware, you might slide or drown. You may tumble to your death. If you don't beware, you could drown. If you don't beware, you could break your neck. If you don't beware, you could end up crippling yourself for life. And folks, when the Bible says beware, God is trying to say to us, you better watch out. Because whatever God warns us with the word beware, it means that danger and injury are virtually imminent. Unless... you watch out for it. The Bible says in Matthew 10:17, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. Matthew 16:12 says, then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. In Mark 12:38, the Bible says, and he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplace. In Matthew 7:15, it says, beware of false prophets. God warns us to beware of many issues. Now, I'm going to point a few of them out. Now listen, don't talk. Look right up here and don't talk. I want to point out a couple of the bewares in the Bible tonight. And I think we ought to be reminded. God put it this way, beware of the dogs. Beware of how these things could hurt us. For instance, the Bible warns us to beware that our wants and our desires do not get out of control. In Luke chapter 12, verse 15, it says this, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Now here, he said beware. That's beware. One of those dogs that could bite, one of those dogs that could injure us is our covetousness. Beware, he's telling us, folks, beware of dissatisfaction. Beware of not being satisfied with what you have and what God has given you. And God sums it up quite well in that verse. He said, your life is not to be made up of the things that you possess. Folks, things will not make you happy. The most important thing in life is your relationship with God. The most important thing in life is going to be your relationship with people. And if you go through life and you're all about things, God said, you better beware. You're letting something get out of control. That word beware means stop and look at it and concentrate on it. Folks, satisfaction is not found in what you have. Satisfaction is found in what you are. You see, if I just had this or that, I would be satisfied. Did you know that you could choose to be satisfied with what you have? You see, the very thing that you want, that you think will satisfy you, somebody else already has, and they want something else. Satisfaction is not in a possession. It is in a quality that abides in your heart. And you could choose. Mrs. Owens has a whole lesson she teaches ladies, and it's called Happiness is a Choice. And folks, satisfaction is a choice too. If you wanted to be satisfied, you could. And your problem is, if you're not, it is that you have chosen to be covetous in your heart. And so, God said, beware the dogs. What was one of the bewares? He said, beware of that covetousness of life. Secondly, beware that you don't forget how good God has been to you. Beware. Beware. One of those dogs One of those dangers is that you and I lose track of how good God has been to us. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10 and 11, it says, "When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments." Now here's what's happening. God said, you beware that you don't forget everything I've given you. God said, you beware that you don't want to forget me, and don't you forget how I blessed you and how I have cared for you. So, and I notice also, he said there, one of the ways of proving that you're aware of his goodness is by living his word. He doesn't want you to just say, God, I know you've been good to me. No, he wants you to say, God, I know you've been good to me, and as a result of it, I'm going to obey the scripture, and I'm going to do what you tell me. But we better stop and take a good long look at the goodness of God. Could I recommend to everybody in here, the next time you sit down with a plate full of food, you think about how good God has been to you? All you got to do is look around. There's nobody in here that looks like they're going to starve to death. We live in America. There's plenty of food. You can't figure out where to store all your clothing. You don't know where to put all your shoes. And there may be a person or two in here that say, well, it's not that way for me, Pastor, but for the multitude of people under the sound of my voice, we have more than what we'll ever need. We're almost irritated with the abundance. We don't know where to put it all. We waste more money than what some people in the world would bring in a day. You get to ask Brother Earl in the mission field and what he's seen as he's traveled the world and the people that are out there that don't have enough food to make it through the day. And you threw enough food away today to feed some people for a week in some third world country. Folks, listen, God said, you better beware, because it's awful easy to lose track of the goodness of God. Folks, we live in the United States of America. Now, she may not be what she once was, but she's a cry. She's out in front of all the other countries around the world. It's a good thing that you live in America. Don't lose track of that. Hey, thank God for His goodness. Thank God for your church, and thank God for your legs. Thank God for your children. Thank God for your mate. And thank God for the beauty of nature. And boy, living here in New Bern, North Carolina, what a beautiful part of the country. Wow, we get to see the beauty of God. Thank God for your pillow. Thank God for your shoes. Thank God for your health. It wouldn't hurt you to thank God for your paycheck. You all understand there's so many people that have money that come in on a regular basis. It might be good for you to take a good long look at that paycheck and say, God said, beware that I do not lose track of the goodness of God in my life. Beware. Beware of your covetousness, he said. He said, beware that you don't lose track of the goodness of God in your life. And folks, God has been so good to us. You say, but preacher, I don't have what a lot of people have. Well, let me tell you one thing. You're not in hell. That's real good news. But not only that. Not only did God say, beware of your wants and beware of covetousness. And not only did he say, beware of losing track of my goodness. Then he said, beware that you don't forget how God has delivered you in life. How God has delivered you in life. Watch out. Evidently, one of the dogs of life is we lose track of God's deliverance in our life. Deuteronomy 6:12, it says, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. What had happened? God's people were in bondage. But God delivered them. But you know, it wasn't long they lost track of the deliverance. They forgot that God had delivered them. And God said, you better beware. I got you out of a jam. I salvaged you. I pulled you out of the miry clay. I set your feet on a rock. Hey, and it's not just a matter of salvation, though. Folks, we ought to thank God for our salvation. Thank God. If you're born again, you're rich in Christ Jesus if you're born again. He delivered us so we don't have to go to hell. But you know something? We so easily forget the deliverance of God. There are people in this room. You remember back when the tragedy came upon you? It seemed as if something was going, it was going to crush you. It was going to destroy you. It would ruin you forever. And you cried out to God.
You know, maybe it's when you were a teenager. Maybe you're a teenager now. Maybe it was when you were an adult. Maybe you were in the hospital. Maybe you were on a foreign land. Maybe it's while you were in the military. Maybe it's at work. But something happened. You cried out to God and said, "Oh, God, help me through this." You thought I would crush you. Maybe nobody knows about that thing that could have destroyed you, that thing could have crushed you. And you know something? He said, "Oh God, deliver me. Oh God, help me. Oh God, get me out of this. Oh God, just help me." And he did. And God said, "You beware. I pulled your sorry soul out of messes before. You better not forget what I've done for you." God said, "Beware of that. Beware. Stop and look and remember the times when God delivered you." I remember a few times in my years where my heart was devastated and my heart was broken. And I cried out and I said, "Oh God, somehow pull me out of this emotional tailspin. God, help me to make it through this." Well, let me tell you, God wants me to remember that. And God wants me to keep on thanking Him for His goodness. And God wants me to be reminded. There are people in here. You remember, He healed you in your youth. Don't forget about it. He provided you a job when you thought your family were doomed to have nothing. Don't you forget about it. He spared your marriage. And folks, salvage your marriage. Don't let that thing go. Make something good of that. Hey, but there are people in here that would say, "I'll tell you what, I remember back when my marriage was a mess, but God has helped it." You better remember that. You better remember the day He turned your child around. You better remember the day He solved the unsolvable. You better remember the day He stopped the unstoppable. You better remember the day that destruction was inevitable, but the great God of the universe stepped up and He salvaged your situation. God said, "You better beware. I do a lot for you. I pull you out of your messes. I salvage you. I make it so you can make it. I help you to get this far." And then you forget about me. God said, "Beware of that behavior. Beware." We so easily forget His deliverance. There ought to be somebody in here tonight that looks back and say, "God delivered me. God, remember, I could go to this incident or that incident, or I could have been killed and God salvaged my life. And God, I've not forgotten how good You are to me." But not only that, He told us, He said, "Beware that your covetousness does not get the best of you. Beware that you don't forget how good I've been. Beware that you don't forget of the times of deliverance." And then, number four, beware of the ways that others have gotten into trouble. Let me show you what I mean. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:25, "Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware." And God here is saying, when life or God disciplines people that get into trouble, you ought to be learning not to get into trouble from their example, their experience. God said, "Now you beware." Yeah, you all understand that there's some people that go out and get into a mess and then their life suffers some damage. God expected you to learn from that and for you to run from that bad behavior. And God said, "You better beware. I send sometimes," you know, sometimes it may be that God is being merciful to you. As somebody else is being disciplined, God may be trying to show mercy to you so you can learn from somebody else's error. But if you don't learn, and teenagers, sometimes what is wrong with us? Teenagers, what is wrong? When you watch one teenager mess up their life, break their heart, break their mom and dad's heart, you watch that happen, and God wanted you to learn from that, and then you turn around and do the same knucklehead thing. It seemed like we would beware, beware, beware. The Bible says, "Smite the scorner and the simple will beware." God is saying, when God disciplines somebody, learn from it. You don't have to go through that same thing. Now, we are all going to learn from our mistakes. But I got to tell you something. I would much rather learn from Chris Edwards' mistakes than for me to learn from my own. I mean, if when we do wrong, pain's going to come. I'd rather Morgan have pain than me. Now I'll watch what you do. And I'll say, "You know what? I'm not going to be as dumb as Morgan." And we all laugh. But I think God in heaven looks down and says, "What are you thinking? Didn't you see what that causes? You just watch somebody ruin their marriage. You just watch somebody ruin their life. You just watch somebody ruin their testimony. Wake up! Beware! Beware! Learn from the Bible examples. Moses lost his temper and smote a water-providing rock twice. And you know what happened? He didn't get to go into the promised land. God said, wake up! I'm giving you an example. Thomas doesn't show up for Sunday night church service, and he doubts Jesus because of it, and he goes down in history as doubting Thomas. Judas is disloyal, and he gets labeled for life because of that disloyalty. Beware dogs. And God said, when the scorner is smitten, smart people will beware, they'll watch, and they'll learn from it. David commits adultery with Bathsheba, and you know, the result was a mess. But it's even the death of one of his children. Beware. Peter hangs around the wrong crowd, and he will forever be plagued with the story of warming himself by the devil's fire. Demas leaves the great apostle Paul and gets labeled the one who forsook Paul when Paul needed him. And we so easily watch tragic examples from the Bible or even from our peers, and then we don't learn from it. Do you have to get hurt the same way your friend got hurt by disobeying God? Beware. Beware. Watch out for it. Not only that, the Bible says, beware of the seduction of men. The seduction of men. This is not a sexually seductive teaching here. It's something totally different. Colossians 2:8 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now, folks, here's talking about philosophy. There is bad philosophy and there is good philosophy. When philosophy is rooted in Scripture, it is good philosophy. When philosophy is rooted in man's opinion and humanism, it's dangerous and it's bad philosophy. And here God said, He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. He's saying beware of man's tradition. Beware of man's vain deceit. The main warning here is beware that someone does not spoil you through these things. It means, spoil means to seduce you. You say, what does that mean? It means the devil, worldly people, ungodly people, are going to appeal to your senses over spiritual common sense. He said, and you better beware. And again, this is not a sexual, but it's a spiritual seduction. In other words, the world and the loose religious crowd and the lost will appeal to the Christian senses. And they're going to try to get us to do what we feel like doing instead of what the Bible says we're supposed to do. Music that appeals to your body and your carnal nature instead of music that is pleasing to God. We're not going to have Christian rock and roll here. We're not going to have contemporary music here. We're not going to have honky-tonk Christian country Christian music here. We're going to have old-time religion music. Amen. You say, why? Because the devil comes along and he appeals to the senses of man to draw them away. And God said, you better beware. And I'll tell you, some of you got to be extra aware, and I'll tell you why. Because you came from the country culture, and you came from the rock and roll culture, and that is very attractive to you. The devil's going to try to pull you back into that, and pull you back into that. He said, beware, because the devil will come along and spoil you. He will try to attract you back into that. I'll tell you what, we have to be careful, because there is a preaching that appeals to our senses. We don't want someone to tell us when we're wrong. We don't want someone to call what's black, black, and what's white, white. We don't want someone to name sin. There are pastors that won't stand up and say, liquor is a sin, adultery is sin, fornication is sin. Men acting like women and women acting like men, that's a sin. There are pastors that won't say that. I want to go somewhere where the preacher doesn't blow his stack. Well, you're in the wrong place here, brother. Look, don't we have to be careful because he said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. And that the whole teaching here is that there are teachings that appeal to our fleshly senses that get us off target. The Bible is the bullseye. And we call that the old time religion. Hey, do you know there are churches everywhere that are canceling their midweek services? Say, why? They use all sorts of excuses why. Then after they cancel their Wednesday night, they'll go to canceling their Sunday night. Then they'll do away with the soul winning program and they'll just call it visitation. Look, and you know what's happening? Slowly but surely, we're taking the pressure off. We're appealing to the flesh, the carnal nature. I have to tell you, folks, if I were not a pastor, I would have to find a pastor that would get up and every once in a while clean my ever-loving clock to remind me I'm to be different from the world. I'm to act different, dress different. I'm to talk different. I'm to walk different. I'm to be different. And I need somebody to tell me that. Why? Because my carnal nature has a passion for the soft side of things. I don't like the rigidness of the old-time religion, but I need it. And that's what he's talking about. Don't let them spoil you through their philosophy, their vain deceit. I have, and I'm sad to say this, I have watched in the last 20 years the seduction of fundamentalism. We've lost our edge. Preachers are afraid to preach. And part of it is our government whacked out on us, trying to make us scared to death to do anything for God. Well, folks, I serve the Lord God. And the Bible's still true, and the old-time way's still the right way. And we cannot let the vain philosophy and the humanism, the softness of a carnal Christian crowd draw us away from the mainline old-time religion of Jesus Christ and the Bible. The King James Bible is still the Word of God, and without apology. It's still right to be separated and to live right and to smell right and to act right. It's still right. Oh, but there's that seduction. Beware of dogs. There's a soft side of Christianity. That's not the side where Jesus came from. And I'm not talking about the absence of tenderness. You really love people. You're going to tell them about Jesus. You're going to tell them the truth. God knows our church has a heart for people. If it's the only sermon you ever hear me preach, you might think, well, he's just mean. Well, you may think that. But our church loves people. And we help people. And we have a heart for people. But I got to tell you, we love God more. I think we're supposed to, right? You can have the combination of the two. But he said, beware of dogs. And that beware of dogs kind of just summarized in God's way the more dangerous elements of either people or influences. And if you wanted, I could preach till midnight because I went through the Bible and I looked up every time the word beware was in there. I said, boy, that's good. And then I went to another one. And then I found another one and another one. I'm not going to preach till midnight. You don't have to worry. But beware, because the Bible says our covetousness is one of those dogs. Losing track of how good God has been, that's one of those dogs. Losing track of the times when God has delivered us, that's one of those dogs. Not learning from other people's mistakes. Remember the scripture, smite the scorner, the simple, beware. God wants us to learn from those that have made mistakes. Hey, beware of the seduction of men. And that's where we are seduced from the strictness of God's word into man's vain philosophy, pleasing the flesh, doing what we want. Folks, when we get to heaven, our lifestyle is going to so change. You say, well, Pastor, I just don't like some of your stands on separation. Well, Sugar Plum, you're going to hate heaven. Because you won't be talking behind God's back up there that you don't like the standards of the church. You'll do what you're told. You will dress right, you will act right, you will live right, you will listen to the right music. You won't have a choice. Around here, we're soft compared to the standards and the expectations in heaven. You can be guaranteed it. Beware. I felt so silly. Looked at the sign that said, "Beware dog." Went through the first gate pretty confidently. Didn't hear a thing, didn't see a thing. Got to the second gate, and I was as serious as I could be. I thought, okay, I'll step in. Stepped in, and those dogs, and there was a bunch of them. Those dogs just went crazy. So, you know, I'm not stupid. My mama didn't raise any idiots. Well, my brother, but that don't count. I stepped out, shut that gate. And I was kind of amazing. I remember that those dogs stopped, and I thought, how do they know I closed that gate? But it did not occur to me. I stepped in again. They started again. Two signs that said, "Beware of dog." But finally, I realized it was a recording. I got set up. But just so you know, what I preach tonight, it's not set up. It's real. The dogs I told you about, they're bigger than any bulldog you're ever going to face in life. Beware. God said that because He loves us. Beware of the dogs. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, we welcome you to the Savior. You come, we'll take a Bible and show you how you can be born again. You can go to heaven someday when you die as a result of a salvation that's made available as a gift from Jesus Christ. Is there anybody here tonight that would say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. If I died tonight, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Pray for me, Pastor. I'm not saved." If you'll raise your hand, I'll pray for you, I promise. Maybe this evening God has spoken to your heart. Maybe the beware means a little something extra to you tonight. I don't know where you're at in life. Boy, we have guests here of all ages tonight. We have so many different circumstances and situations represented here tonight. Let the Holy Spirit of God take a sermon like this and make an impact on you. Beware, Christian. Beware those dogs. They're out there to cause havoc in our lives. Who here tonight would say, "Pastor, God has definitely spoken to my heart in the sermon tonight"? Would you raise your hand and let God see it? There's some of you then. You may put those hands down. Maybe you need the altar for a moment. Maybe you ought to come up and say, "God, I want to beware. I want to beware. I'm going to, God, you spoke to my heart tonight, and I am going to show the caution that the sermon has prompted me to show." The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. If you need a moment at this altar, you come. Beware, Christian. Beware of those dogs. They're out there. Beware of that dog of covetousness. Beware that you don't forget how good God has been to you. Beware that you don't forget the times of God's deliverance in your life. Beware that you're cautious to learn from the heartaches and trials of other people. Beware of the seduction of men. Don't let people or the devil pull you away from the straight line of the Bible. Beware of dogs. That's how God put it. Beware of dogs. The dog is that philosophy that's wrong. The dog is the wrong crowd, if you will. The dog are those things that pull us away from the purity of God and the church. Take your time. If you need the altar, you come. One more time through the song, and then it won't be long. We'll be on our way. Beware, teenager. Your youth pastor, your parents try to warn you. I beware. Watch out for those things. Beware, folks. Your Sunday school teacher tries to warn you. Beware. Your pastor tries to warn you. Take it personally.